Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Ba-da-da-da-da. I'm trying to change the name of the show to What's the Buzz. I got to figure out how I can do that with Blog Talk Radio. But Comedy Concepts, What's the Buzz, New York? Here we go. I see already listening online is Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Check her out. Okay. I want to begin with something then. Yeah, it's alphabetical order that I'm scanning down here. And I always like this story by Alan Zweibel of how he got started in comedy. It's pretty funny. You know, I'm a writer for Saturday Night Live and numerous movies. And got a funny story of one of the worst reviews he ever got. but it's how he became a writer.
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island. But I was in college and there was no courses, there was no curriculum, there was no way, there was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390. Which reclassified me as a mineral, like right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old tests and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got, $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah. So what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains, to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossingers, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room, and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage, and he'd come up to me and he says, boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh. And I'd say, gee, I heard a laugh. And then we would bargain. And I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50. You know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities, and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage deliver the jokes with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents, and he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house. We'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. About 4 months into this experiment, I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, "What?" He goes, "You know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life." I said, "I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, your material's not bad. Did you write it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I see more of it?" I said, "You bet." I didn't even ask who it was at first, because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
Okay, that was good. Betty Jo Tucker is listening. Hi, Betty Jo. I'm trying to open three windows at once. It's crazy. It's just nuts trying to do this all. Okay, I'm trying to see Betty Jo. I got so many emails in between you. Anyway, Betty Jo Tucker Movie Addict Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, always an interesting show. Oh, I just turned into Laura Petrie. I don't know why. Okay. Speaking of shows, we have All Aboard just opened. I went to see it. It's so much fun. I really enjoyed it. Great music, great lyrics. Go check it out. It's at 14th Street Y, and it's running for about 2 weeks now. And you can go to www.allaboardthemusical.com for more information. Okay, great show. Terrific. I like this one song here called The Spin.
We take the truth and spin it. We take his faults, add some schmaltz, and spin it.
For what are facts but mere abstracts? We correct misconceptions, then we don't take questions.
That's the dance they call the spin.
You add a soundbite here and a soundbite there. That's the dance they call the spin. Or you turn to the right, it all depends upon the wind.
First you vote for it, then you vote against it, and what did you know and when you know it? Are you better off now, or were you better off then? That's the dance they call the spin.
The buck stops here, then the buck stops there. Let me make this perfectly clear. Are you now, or have you ever been? That's the dance they call the spin.
Let me say this about that. I am not a crook. Government's best that governs least. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I love the dance they call the spin.
You add a soundbite here and a soundbite there. That's the dance they call the spin. You turn to the left or you turn to the right. It all depends upon the wind.
Megyn Kelly was going through her menopause. Global warming was China's invention. And my hands are not small. They're bigger than Limbaugh's. That's the dance they call the spin.
I could have stayed home and baked cookies with nuts. Or sung Stand By Your Man. I really love Bill, but love to cut off his butt. That's the dance they call the spin.
Let me say this about that. I am not a crook. I love saying that. Government's best that governs least. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And that's the dance they call the spin. and that's the dance,
and that's the dance,
and that's the dance,
and that's the dance,
and that's the dance they call the spin.
Hello? That was good. Right now, the comedy of Dave Koenig. Is it coming on? Let me see.
So, I was a lousy Jew. But I never fit in with the other Jews who were also lousy Jews. See, I knew so many Jews my whole life who were lousy at being Jewish. But it didn't seem to bother them. They never went to temple. They didn't fast on Yom Kippur. They were atheists. They were Jews only in the sense that they lived on the Upper West Side, bought their bagels at H&H, read the New York Times, and once a month had brunch at Barney Greengrass and ate pastrami. So like cafeteria Catholics, they were delicatessen Jews. Except the Koreans moved in, took over, there's no more delicatessens. So they're actually Korean fruit stand Jews. I apparently look Irish. I have no idea how this happened. It doesn't help that I have rosacea, so my face is always flush, like the Irish. Their face always flush because they drink. That's not racist, that's just a statement of fact. Please, if you take only one thing away from this show, let it be that. All Irish drink. So, see, I wanted to be a good Jew, but I also never fit in with the Jews who are good at being Jews. See, with them, it was like they all spoke a secret language I didn't understand. Actually, they did. It's called Hebrew. But still, I would try. I would try. When I was single, every year, alone in my apartment, I would light a Hanukkah menorah. And then, just to complete the ritual, I'd feel obliged to buy myself a Hanukkah present. Which is not only sad, but a little awkward, because invariably I'd buy myself the wrong thing. Like a tie and a pattern I already had. Then I married an Irish Catholic. I proposed to her on Christmas Eve in Rockefeller Center, underneath the biggest Christmas tree in the world. And I told her if we had kids, she could raise them Catholic. Because I know how to woo a Gentile. So we had kids. And we raised them Catholic, which actually works out fine. That's fine. Except I think my kids might be a little anti-Semitic. Just a little. You hear comments? I don't want to make a big deal. The other day, my four-year-old son asked me if I'd buy him his own real car, you know? I thought that was kind of cute. I said, no, Dad, you can't do that. That would cost too much money. You know what he said? He said, you people. That's all you ever think about. My kids built a clubhouse in the backyard. I asked if I could join. My 8-year-old pulls me aside. He says, look, if it were up to me. The other day, I told my kids to turn off the TV. When I left the room, I swear one of them said, see, I told you they control the media. Also, as a kid, it did seem to me that the Gentile kids had much better holidays than the Jewish kids. Oh, yeah, no. It all goes back to Christmas and Hanukkah. Every kid growing up knows Hanukkah can't compete with Christmas. First of all, what is Christmas? Oh, it's only the biggest birthday party in the world. What is Hanukkah? The Syrians were trying to kick our ass, so for 8 days we hid in the temple. It's essentially a festival of hiding. Every Jewish holiday is the same. The entire history of Judaism, thousands of years of getting our ass kicked. On the rare occasions there's a day we didn't get our ass kicked, that's a holiday. Passover. The Pharaoh was trying to kick our ass, so we put some lamb's blood on the door, and the angel of death got confused, so we fled into the desert, where we got lost for 40 years, and nobody could find us, so they couldn't kick our ass. Okay, happy Passover. Enjoy your bitter herbs and horseradish. Yom Kippur. I'll tell you what you do. For one day, you don't eat anything. Then you'll be so weak and headachy from hunger, maybe people will feel sorry for you. For one day, they won't kick your ass, okay? Happy Yom Kippur. Enjoy your delicious nothing. Hanukkah. For 8 days, we hid in the temple. They couldn't find us. They couldn't kick our ass. Oh, yeah, what happened on the ninth day? On the ninth day, they found us. They kicked our ass, okay? Happy Hanukkah. Go play with your dreidel. That's another thing. Christmas. presents, toys, gifts, money orders, cash, appliances. Hanukkah, what do you get? You get a dreidel. What's a dreidel? It's a top. It's a disappointing present for a kid of any age. Oh, we try and jazz it up with a big musical number, right? Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. You get that? You get the angle? You don't even get the dreidel. You get a lump of clay. They tell you, go make your own dreidel. Hanukkah. It's a Hebrew word. You know what it means? Loosely translated. It means the Irish kid who lives next door is getting a new bike. And you're not, Shlomo. Obviously, I had given the subject a lot of deep theological thought. I began to consider the possibility of converting. I was attracted to the camaraderie of Catholicism, as depicted in such motion pictures as The Godfather and The Godfather 2. I wasn't the first Jew in show business to convert to Christianity. There was Bob Dylan, and all right, I was the second Jew in show business to convert to Christianity. Bob Dylan, of course, wrote Blowin' in the Wind. I wrote the following joke. I wonder if strippers have a recurring dream where they suddenly find themselves at work with all their clothes on and no one staring at them. Here you had the Catholic Church, an institution known for completely controlling the message, going against character, and attempting to produce talk radio, a medium that thrives on the free and unfettered exchange of ideas and dialogue. As their morning show host, they've hired an opinionated, loudmouth Jewish comic, going against character and attempting to be a good Catholic. Gee, what could possibly go wrong? So, to make myself more comfortable, I started booking all my comedian friends to come on the show. Here's a partial list of some of the comedians I had on the show. Jackie Mason, Freddie Roman, Stewie Stone, Corey Kahaney, Susie Essman, Brad Zimmerman, Michelle Ballin, David Steinberg, Maya Ed Koch, Alan Zweibel. Basically, I booked every Jew at the Friars Club. David Brenner came on the show. He told us all about being a young Jewish boy growing up in a tough Irish Catholic neighborhood in Philadelphia. One day, he's walking down the street, and this big Irish kid comes running out of a church. He runs up to Brenner, punches him in the nose, knocks him flat on his ass. Brenner looks up, he says, "What the hell did you do that for?" Kid says, "Because your people killed Christ." Brenner says, "Wait a minute. First of all, that was like 2,000 years ago." Kid says, "Yeah, I know, but I just found out about it today." After a while, Condell Egan's agent got a little nervous about me. He said to me, "We don't mind you having all your comedian friends on the show, but don't you at least know any Catholic comedians?" So I booked Lisa Lampanelli. I told her to keep it clean. It was a short interview. We would have Catholic celebrities on the show, but usually by accident. I booked Richard Simmons to come on the show. I thought that'd be a hoot, Richard Simmons on the Catholic channel. Well, it turns out Richard is a devout Catholic. He told us all about his vast collection of little tiny baby Jesus dolls. Apparently, Richard Simmons has hundreds and hundreds of little tiny baby Jesus dolls. We were all surprised to hear that Richard Simmons had hundreds of baby Jesus. Actually, no one was surprised to hear that Richard Simmons had hundreds of baby Jesus dolls. Weekend. I was out of options. I mean, what club would take me in now? I could become a Jew for Jesus. They're actually quite nice. I was talking to one before the show. I was rushing to get down here. I was running a little late. Woman stopped me on the street. She said, "Excuse me, sir, I must talk to you. I'm a Jew for Jesus." I said, "That's nice, lady. I'm a Jew late for work." I began to consider the possibility of maybe converting back to Judaism. But how do you convert back to Judaism after you've converted to Catholicism? I mean, what do you do? Walk out of the church backwards, uncrossing yourself?
That was Dave Koenig. Okay. All right. Let's keep it going.
All right, Ian. Set to do your vocals. The studio musicians have already recorded their parts, and the choruses will be coming from the booth next door. You just wanted the same phrase repeating, right?
Right.
Okay. Are you set with your lyrics?
Yep. Just copied some stuff off of Wikipedia.
Great. Well, ready when you are.
Benedict Cumberbatch was born one English summer's day. In London, England, he was raised by Wanda and Timothy. Both were actors, so he studied the dramatic arts at Manchester University.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's quite loud.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I like it though.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
His first big breakthrough role was in 2004 when he portrayed the physicist Stephen Hawking. Not too long after this, he became a household name when solving crimes as Sherlock was his thing. With all his acting accolades and numerous awards, he never faltered from his goals or the pitfalls of fame. And though his name is so well known in mentioned households, they struggle to correctly say his name.
Benedict Cumberbatch, Eddie Spoon Krusty Pants.
What?
And in Snap Chocodile.
Oh, wait a second.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
His name came up again when in Star Trek he played the villain Khan, who apparently was both Indian and white. The Hobbit films all feature him as the great dragon Smaug, cause he's part dragon.
Wait, that isn't right.
His name is known throughout the land, heard both far and wide, as the true ruler of the kingdom of the Land of Oz. And soon he'll play young Doctor Strange for the Marvel film to bring more nerdy subjects to his cause.
From the fly cabbage patch,
oh, come on.
Eddie Cruz Crashy Crash.
What?
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Now that's
clear. The Lenny Cucumber.
Wait, what's going on here? I'm just singing what I'm given on this paper, how it's written. The one drawback to Cumberbatch, his wiki page looks like it's hacked. He plays the imitation game when he is done with chess. He's such a warhorse when it comes to folding his laundry. They say he shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. And I hear tell his real name is C.
Basing that culture tie. Battering Boulder Dash.
Really?
Flippity Hammer Dash.
I'm just saying anything.
Burger King Chicken Fries. And it's not clear as that.
Get the name right.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Thank you.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
There you go.
Ellie Coleman Bass.
No, it's...
Eggs.
Benedict Cumber...
Buns.
Batch.
Dang it.
Say to see good right and the deck will come down and pay you $1,000. You're listening to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo! What is it, Carly? What is it? I want to listen to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Nyah, 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 ruff, ruff. You know, it's an amazing thing. This is Jackie Mason, and you're listening to Comedy Concepts with my good friend Nancy Lombardo right here on the wonderful station on Blog Talk Radio. If you knew it, if you only knew what you were hearing, you'd understand that this is the greatest program a person could ever have. Nancy Lombardo right here at Comedy Concepts.
That was great. That was done by George Bettinger. George Bettinger, the mom and pop shop, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. To listen, go to TuneIn right here in Miramar. TuneIn right here in Miramar, 4 o'clock, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and follow him on his Facebook page, and you can follow the thread and comment. Nice guy. Very talented. Let's have a little Goons, shall we?
Just the lad I've been looking for.
Ah.
Clamber on my head, Fred. Whence all but you have fled, Fred. There is no contesting, I've no way of manifesting how much I'd prefer you dead, Fred.
Oh, I'm glad you let me make it in, because I trust you too.
Gratify your whim, Jim.
Jim, what happened to Fred?
He changed his name.
What to?
Chunky. Tell me, can you swim, Jim?
No, Jim cannot swim.
Then step upon this plank, son, on the riverbank, son, which I have carefully arranged so that it will suddenly tip up and throw you into 30 feet of muddy water as you upset the trim by stepping on the rim, Jim.
Okay, stop cheating me, is it, Captain?
Of course not, dear boy. Just walk along it a bit farther.
Ready, Harding. Ah, here I am. On the edge of the nice little wooden crab plank. It's a lovely day for a naughty plank, but... You're drowning me. I do not like this game. I got this. When I say I trust you, I don't want to be drowned. It's 'cause I do not like that kind of game, blues. I don't like naughty tricks that go splooty splat. They say harm can come to a young lad like that. And I do not like explosions that blow me back for Christmas out of my empty sights of wanting shoes. I don't like being wetted by nasty April showers. And I do not like being nutted by Eiffel and Blackpool Towers. So I do not want to be grounded, nutted, deaded, headed, flatted, headed. I don't like that kind of sad blues. I don't like that. I've got dim, blin, button blues.
Still alive? Take this cigarette, pet.
Good time.
No, don't light it yet, pet.
That I won't be dead or nothing, Captain?
No, no, don't be frightened.
All right, then. I'll just put a match to it and... Yeah, I can swing you. You're digging me again. I can't play this button game no more. Yeah. Picks up fractured kneecaps, replaces lug in lug hole, and exits through little hole in middle of back hole. Yeah.
I'm walking backwards for Christmas. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's near the side, isn't it?
The Goons. All right, that concludes our show. I'm going to play one last song by me. My CDs are available on CD Baby, so go buy a bunch. All right, thank you for listening. This is Common Concepts, What's the Buzz, New York.
After a week of attending to everyone else's needs, a mommy's night out becomes an almost religious experience.
I'm going out tonight.
Going out tonight.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.